Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's react here again. So this is all taking place off a game in Jordan, Jordan High School, against Minneapolis Roosevelt. Roosevelt, the history has been that they have made the decision where they remain in the locker room during the national anthem for road games, but as Court said, for home games, or lift every voice and sing, is treated as the black national anthem. That's from Paul Walsh's story. I don't know 100% if it was because of that that some of the kids and fans decided to bring the, you know, Make America Great Again, Trump 2020, and bring the banner. I don't know if they planned on bringing that all along. As I said to Larry, as I said last week, I cannot read the mind. I don't know the heart of individuals. But it's happened too many damn times the last 2 to 3 years where a school where there's greater diversity shows up to school where it's more of a white school, where all of a sudden when the kids of color show up and there's a lot of Trump hats, and it's rather significant how it happens then, it doesn't happen all the time. I don't care who the president is. I don't think we should have a reelect fill-in-the-blank at any of the games. I don't understand why the administrators didn't deal with that right away. On the national anthem situation, I've said this many times, I'll repeat it. When Kaepernick and others decided to take a knee for the anthem, it wasn't, in my view, they're less a patriot than you are. In fact, when Colin Kaepernick was given the idea about taking a knee, it was from an honored member of the military. It was to speak out about the unequal treatment that African Americans feel like they get on a daily basis, including with law enforcement. Now, I don't defend everything Kaepernick did. Absolutely not. Okay? Including with the socks, mocking police officers as pigs. It was, in my view, way out of bounds on that. But you have an opportunity when you have a vehicle to speak out. That's what Kaepernick did. To me, without a doubt, Kaepernick has been kept out of football solely because of that reason. So, sure, there was going to be a trickle-down. So, yeah, in an ideal world, you'd have you'd find a way middle ground. I am not going to take the administrators off the hook at Jordan for having the banner there. To me, I don't understand any explanation. I feel bad that Jordan now feels like there was going to be a threat and their kids feared for their safety. I don't see a scenario where that would have taken place. I would have been stunned. I do understand the administrators have to think about the safety of their kids most of all. But I think Larry's point is so good on what does this mean for the rest of the season now? Are we going to worry about every time that there's a team from the city of Minneapolis or the city of St. Paul and you go outstate that we're going to be concerned about it when 99% of the kids, 99.9% of the kids don't think about this at all on the racial implications? I think it's sad on a day when we're celebrating Dr. King that we're still having a conversation like this. Shaletta, when you look at this entire story, what grabs you most about what took place, Jordan, and now what was taking place today with Jordan deciding not to play in the game?
I think the adults need to get out of the way. And they need to set the example if they're going to be there for these children and use this, as the coach said, as a teachable moment. What would it say to the world if these two schools got together and said, we're going to play this game. This is going to be an annual game. Our cheerleaders are going to cheer together. Our bands are going to play together. We're going to have lunch together. It just seems like they don't even want to come together to make this world a better place, which is what Dr. King died for. Inclusion, being together. There was never a threat on these children. So now they're saying they are taking them out because of a threat. Well, that makes North look dangerous. That makes the cities look dangerous. And it makes Black people look dangerous. But there was never a threat. So they're taking their kids away because of a threat. Yeah, from what we know.
Yeah.
Let the kids go
over
there.
No one else has even cited this specific threat.
No one else has even said. Police didn't say anything. They didn't say there was a threat, so we're taking our kids out. Well, that lets you know you did something really wrong if you're afraid somebody's going to retaliate.
And again, when Jordan specifically was asked about this, okay, and the school superintendent said in an email statement, fear was not our reason, right? The Henry coach had speculated he had heard that that might be it. The Jordan folks said, no, that wasn't it. Among the texts coming in, well, let's do this. Let's get your texts and your phone calls on this right when we come back. Let's get to Laura on time so we stay in sync here. Keep the texts and calls coming in, 81807 or 651-989-9226. Here's Laura. All right, let's get to the text and a call, and then we'll move on to the topics. This, again, is in reaction to what took place last week when Jordan hosted Roosevelt. Now, and you had Jordan, some kids with a banner, 2020 Trump, Make America Great Again. Some are blaming Roosevelt because they stayed in the locker room and did not come out for the anthem. As I've said before, schools and coaches and players have that opportunity to do that. Whether you agree with the method or not, it doesn't make you more a patriot, in my view, clear cut. It doesn't make you love the country or more. By the way, some of the greatest signs of patriotism and protest and what makes our country so fabulous and so unique is people of all ages speaking out. On the political side, if you want to be a Trump supporter, go to it. But banners supporting the president or a candidate at a high school event, to me, don't belong there at all. So now it trickled down into what was taking place today when Jordan was going to play Patrick Henry at an event hosted by Roosevelt, and they have decided to not show up. Some rumblings that it may have been tied to security, although the superintendent from Jordan said fear was not our reason.
I mean, what would have happened if Jordan would have came to Patrick Henry or North a couple of years ago and they would have had an Obama banner?
I would have called it out, even though I supported Obama more than Trump.
It would be absolutely wrong, and everyone would be up in arms. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, we did this because they did that. If you did it and it's wrong, it's just wrong, and you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, and I want to hear specifically from the kids or the administrators involved, is this precisely why they did that? Because they knew Roosevelt was staying in the locker room. Because, by the way, you're allowed to protest whoever the president might be.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anybody who's felt like that they were part of taking any of the protests felt like, well, the unequal treatment of African-Americans just started when Donald Trump was president. This has been taking place for decades and decades and decades in our country. You might feel a president is more of an advocate about this, and his actions and his policies from their administration is more productive in that area. But it didn't just start in, the day that Donald Trump won the presidency.
Right. That's the reason Dr. King marched, fought, and died. We're still fighting the same fight.
Yeah. On this day, too. Among the texts. One of Roosevelt post-Obama signs. Why is that wrong? He was president. No, we just said. So the texter who has been coming at us, you're exactly wrong. We both just said if there are Obama signs there, we would say, again, you're allowed to support Barack Obama. You're allowed to support Donald Trump. But at a school event, whether it's a sporting event or not, to have the banner there for that particular president, no, that's not what I would do. Among the texts coming in, we got along because our parents and teachers treated everyone equally. Wow, what a novel concept that would be. Wouldn't that be fantastic? I think the more text here. I think the Jordan community missed a great opportunity to be a participant in the MLK Classic and build an understanding and engage in greater awareness. However, they chose to not play and therefore seemingly embrace what they claim to be against. I think that texter nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
I blame the Jordan parents. They set horrible examples of poor sportsmanship and allowed the kids to insult their opponents. Again, the administrators, where are they and why this banner was allowed? Sad society. The school, students, officials, and parents are at this point in 2019. Dividing based on race is wrong. Where is the high school league on this particular issue? I think the families knew what they did was wrong. If they thought their actions were right, they were showed for the tourney today. Chad Larry made some good points. In my view, this is a yin and yang situation. A team disrespects the national anthem. School B reacts to holding their signs. Where do you stand on the black national anthem played at Roosevelt at home games and not coming out for the national anthem in the road game? Where are you at that one at the high school level?
At the high school level, I think we need to have some uniform rules. This is a high school game. They have high school athletic associations, and we need to have a uniform rule so we all know what we are supposed to do. What's the rule? Are we going to allow a substitute song for certain schools and the national anthem for other schools? We need to have a rule, and we need to follow that letter of the law so that there can be no gray area. What are we going to do, and let's get that done.
I think that's fair, right? Yeah. And let's also remember, the NFL this year, when they were attempting a policy again, when this became bigger and bigger, and certainly the president ratcheted up this issue because he felt like his base liked what he was saying, including calling the players SOBs, which was incredibly insulting,
mm-hmm.
right? Part of what the NFL said first is don't come out. Instead of kneeling, don't come out. So
right.
maybe some of the schools now are saying, well, we're not going to come out, as mm-hmm. opposed to finding a little bit of that NFL model. Okay, a couple calls, and we'll get to other matters. Dennis has called in from St. Paul. Dennis, you're on WCCO.
Hi. Let's see. I'm a grandpa of one of the players at Jordan.
Okay.
And a couple things. One, I wish we didn't have to talk, but I have to talk and give you some of my opinion of what's going on. Just, you know, over the last couple of years, I've been following my grandson, who's a senior, for years, and followed every game that he's played at. And within the last couple of years, they did play at Roosevelt. I went to that game. They did play at North, Minneapolis North. I went to that game. So it's not like they're isolated. They have gone to those games, and they've played those games. So I think they should get some credit. They're not isolating themselves out there. They have participated in the inner city. So you, just so you know that, that's one thing. And I was at the game that happened down there. Unfortunately, I was on the side, so I couldn't see the banner. So that was unbeknownst to me that was going on.
Right.
I'm embarrassed by that, and I totally agree that that should not have happened. I don't think it represents Jordan. There were some students that had this banner out
there. I don't either. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying this is all Jordan. I'm not even seeing any of the kids. I don't understand how the administrators didn't deal with this instantly,
right.
because once you see it, you just say, this isn't the place.
Right. I think it got taken. My grandson said that it got taken down right away. Once it was they put it up, these kids, you saw that, and they took that down, I think.
But it was up for a period of time.
Was it? Yeah. See, I was on the wrong. I was on the other side.
Yeah,
I couldn't
that happens.
See it. But the thing that was lost sight of, it was a great game. Oh, my gosh. I mean, Jordan won, but still, that was the whole focus. I was there for the game, and that's all I watched. And, you know, them not coming out for the national anthem caught me off guard. But then, you know, the Jordan players said, you know, they're not going to be coming out, and that's you know, it did bother me, but then that's the norm, and I guess I accept that. I do not agree with that banner. But I just want to
tell you,
you know, they do play outside. They go to the inner cities and play. That's not, you know, so them coming there, not going today, to me, it's more, this thing is, bam, it's been blown up now. And
well, but it's bigger, and I got to let you go, Dustin.
Yep.
It's bigger because they're not going today. The way to defuse it would have been playing today. Mike's in Rosemont. Mike, you're on? Hold on. I got to hit this one here. Go ahead, Mike.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Just had a real quick comment. To me, the kids staying in the locker room, they were expressing their particular political beliefs. And when you look at who the number one icon is for standing in for the national anthem, that's Trump. So the kids that obviously support standing for the anthem, they had their Trump banner. So
but you do realize, can I ask you this? Why did Colin Kaepernick start taking a knee?
Why did he say?
Why did he start taking a knee, sir?
He claims it's for social justice.
Yeah. What do you mean, claims? You don't believe him?
No, I believe he can have social justice thoughts, but at the same time, he can be disrespecting the veterans who are standing there on the field holding the flag.
You know a veteran is the one who told him to take a knee, right? Because every veteran doesn't agree the same. Right.
Chad, I also on this subject, I had another thing.
Well, hold on a second. Mike, I want you to answer that. Mike, you know veterans don't agree 100% on this. There are many veterans who think that is disrespectful and others who counseled him and said, this is what you should do.
And, Chad, you know that there's not 100% on any particular
correct
item. You know that, right?
I do know, but you said veterans, and like as if everyone agreed. So I was just, you're 100% right. There's going to be no business. No business, no entity, no organization is going to think one way.
That's absolutely correct. But on the other hand, do you agree that veterans think that that's a disrespectful?
No, not everyone. No, you're not listening to me because I don't.
No,
because
I've talked to
veterans, and some are very outraged by it, and some think this is exactly what this country is all about, so they have no problem with it. Thank you, Mike. Calling again, I appreciate it. 1:24 on CCO. Where is Cameo right now?
At home listening to the Chad Hartman show. I don't know.
Is he still wearing that giant protective cup,
the
too?
The giant. They were crazy. They had biker shorts on.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Dudes in biker shorts. Oh, no. Something's just wrong about that.
I'm still a fan of this, too. And I like the word up among the techs coming in here because we're going to stay with this. Because the texts and calls have been so strong. And then we're going to get to special education funding and what's taking place there. We'll get back to the NFL with Matt Burke. We've got some other events tied to MLK before we are done. Why did you cut the guy off? Let people talk. It's a talk show. We don't want to hear just your opinion. We took a break actually at 1:24. We're supposed to take that break at about 1:19 because I let both callers on the air for at least 3 minutes. That's a long time for callers. I've already read maybe 25 texts. I'm going to read about 10 more here. So we're giving feedback. We are not a caller-driven show. This just isn't a caller-driven show. You may like caller-driven shows, more power to you. That's not what this show does now, and it's never going to be a huge part of it. I think calls really can add at times. We get paid. We get paid to do that. And this is just a personal view. I think a poor call really can sidetrack you. I don't think either of the last two calls were bad at all. I thought they were very good. They added to it. But the second call, and I'm forgetting his name right now, I was just when he was trying to say, well, all vets, and went back to it twice, that's what I was just pushing back on. So we can have that debate. Part of what we were talking about, where vets stand on this. Another text coming in. I'm a 9-year Vietnam vet, and I support Colin Kaepernick. Let's see.
You know, Muhammad Ali was really the Colin Kaepernick of his day, and they just named an airport after him.
Well, yeah, and Muhammad Ali took it even further. You think of the how Ali was willing to travel the world, mm-hmm. how Ali was willing to do so many different things, and how finally later in his life, Ali was embraced and mm-hmm. was viewed as a hero by a lot of people who absolutely hated him in the 60s and 70s, mm-hmm. and some still do. And it's one thing if philosophically you disagree, because if you just have a philosophical disagreement, that doesn't automatically mean the other side is evil and you're right.
Right.
It's a lot of times it's the venom mm-hmm. and where it's coming from. And I'm getting so many texts today. Here's one where somebody says,
In the late 60s, my senior class with other class members walked in silence with a banner honoring Dr. King's vision. Can't believe 50 years later we're having a conversation like this. This is why we're staying with this today.
Yeah.
This is MLK Day, right? Where I know we're never going to get to a point, sadly, where we don't have some racial differences and mm-hmm. some racial strife. But we're getting to a point when a bleeping sporting event, a high school basketball game, is dominated by this, and then kids don't come for whatever reason. If we can't accomplish something as simple as that, where are we at with the bigger issues? And I'm sorry, the last couple of years, the racial divide in our country has grown.
It's horrible.
And you want to say the president has nothing to do with it? You want to say the president has a fair amount to do with it? Go ahead. I've given my opinion many, many times on where we're at right now with the rise of white supremacists, the rise of white nationalists, the nonsense regarding Barack Obama and birtherism, when I think that was driven, let's say, 99.9% regarding race. And it's really sad that it's not the content of the character is what we should be judging, as Dr. King pointed out so many times. Let's get to a few more texts. My grandpa's a World War II vet and is against kneeling, as is my Marine nephew. That's just proving my point. The different people have different ideas. Why are anthems played at sporting events in the first place? Well, this is an issue I've brought up for a while, Shaletta.
Really?
And I get destroyed in this because mm-hmm. I have said that until this issue came up, I think a huge percentage of people at the games were barely paying attention. Mm. And that doesn't mean they're bad people.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they don't care about America. And if you pay attention, you care about America. But to me, it is unique how in sporting events, so we can give all the history, we've done that before, how it's played there. But there are so many other events where the national entertainment events
mm-hmm.
where the national anthem is not played, but no team wants to do it. Because they would just get destroyed
mm-hmm.
publicly, like they don't care yeah. for America.
Yeah.
And it's not that at all. Let's see. All this hatred must stop. It begins at home. It is learned. I think plenty of it, Shaletta, is. But I'll say this. There are kids who turn out magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they might have two parents who are the laziest parents ever. Right?
Yeah.
And don't care
mm-hmm.
and don't set character and don't set values. And it could be one or two. And you can also have parents who are remarkable in their kindness,
mm-hmm.
in their patience, in their discipline. And the kid just turns out to be a jackass.
Yeah.
So it's not always, hey, whatever happens at home
yeah.
is what happens. It's
right.
the whole nature versus nurture situation.
Yeah. And my kids don't even know they're black. I tell people that all the time. If someone walked up to one of my children and told them they were black, they would not even understand what that meant because we don't even teach them color. This is my friend. Her name is Eliza. If my mother came to town and said, which one is Eliza? Is that the little white girl? My daughter wouldn't even understand what she's talking about because we're teaching them to live in a society where they don't describe or look at people based on their color. So if someone walked up to one of my kids and called them the N-word or told them they were black or made fun of them because they have darker skin, they would not even understand what they were talking about.
In many ways, that's exactly how it should be, right? There can be also ways that people can be true to what has happened
mm-hmm.
in their past, but you can still have that and look at somebody and say, I'm just judging you for the words
exactly.
and your actions and that the pigmentation of your skin does not matter.
It has nothing to do with it.
There are other areas when, you know, historically it can matter, but in these interactions, it shouldn't be a part of it at all.
Mm-hmm.
35 past one, special education funding. What is going on? Why is it always so lacking, and is it getting worse? Let's talk about that after traffic and weather. It's a strip story. It was their major play story in yesterday's Star Tribune. Let me just get to the first two graphs. Soaring special education costs are squeezing the budgets
of Minnesota schools and quickly becoming school districts' top priority for the new legislative session. While public schools are required to provide special education services, federal and state governments cover only a portion of the costs. This means Minnesota districts must dig in their budgets, pull out money they would otherwise spend paying teachers or remodeling aging buildings, and collectively filling a gap that this year is expected to balloon to, listen to it, $724 million.
Woo.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
John Klaber lives this every single day. He's executive director, Minnesota Administrators for Special Education. And, John, thank you so much for coming on. I greatly appreciate your time. John, it seems like year by year it is getting worse. Why is that?
I think that some of the challenges that we're facing is that everything sort of goes up in cost over time. And we are maybe doing a better job at identifying students that have, you know, needs requiring special education service. And, you know, the challenge maybe more than anything else is that we would appreciate it if the federal government would hold to its word about funding the percentage that they had promised. We would not be facing the same challenges that we are with special education. But in many cases, what we're seeing is issues of efficiency, where we're spending more and more time. Our teachers, our specialists are spending more and more of their day doing paperwork tasks. And those tasks are required. And by doing that, that means you probably have to hire more people to cover the services for kids.
So let's talk about those numbers from the federal government, because I mentioned this before you came on. I have a special needs son, Shaletta, who's with me today. She has two kids in this category.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government pledged this decades ago to cover 40% of special education costs. This isn't last year. This is years and years and years ago. Currently, from the Trib story, the federal government pays for about 8% of Minnesota's 2.2 annual budget special education expenses. Is that typical of where it's at across the country, John? Do you know that, like around 8 to 10%?
That would certainly be, because the amount of money that the state receives is based on what they expend. So, yes, the feds are going to pick up about 8% of the costs.
And is it just one of these things that we hear from different federal officials, or even when different state officials are running, they'll say, we're going to change this, we're going to make sure they get to that number, but it really never, ever changes that much?
You know, we've had the opportunity to visit with our legislators from both sides of the aisle out in D.C. And to a person, they are supportive of the idea that the federal government would step up and pay their fair share. Unfortunately, it never sort of rolls out to anything more than a list of legislators who say, yes, we think it's a great idea,
right,
but the money is never allocated.
Well, I'll give you an example for me. And again, my bias, I did bring this up to the governor only one time. I interviewed Mark Dayton, from the time he was a senator and governor, probably 50, 60, 70 times. One time at the state fair, when someone else raised the issue, I brought it up and said, this hits home for me. Where are you at? And he said, you know, this is a year we're going to emphasize that a little bit more. I never saw any action. And certainly Mark Dayton was a large advocate on education funding as a whole, pushed greatly on it. But, John, even when the numbers are going up, whether something has changed or just the diagnosis of kids has changed, I still don't see the political push from either the politicians or the constituents in this area of education funding compared to many other areas.
Well, you know, there are many polls on the taxpayer in terms of the dollars that they're willing to spend. And I think we want to remember that first and foremost, you know, special ed kids or kids on IEPs are first regular ed students. They're part of the regular ed population.
Yep.
You know, I like to point out that for the bulk of the kids receiving special education services, they spend the majority of their day in a regular education setting, in a regular ed classroom. And the extent to which our special ed needs pull money away from the general ed classrooms means that Scotty, who's on an IEP, is now in a classroom of 30 kids instead of possibly 20 kids because the district has had to allocate additional funds towards special education. And now that's affecting that student on special on an IEP. And if we carry it to the absurd, possibly the teacher who now has 30 kids instead of 20 can't attend to that student's needs as well as they might otherwise.
Right.
And now we're going to increase the special education services to Scotty.
So are you seeing some uniformity in how the different school districts are dealing with the challenges on the numbers, or is it almost district by district in what they do?
I think there's a great deal of uniformity. You know, at one point we would have told you, you know, the small rural outlying districts are the ones that are really being hammered by this. And now we can look at our members from across the state, and it's an issue in every district. It's an issue if it's a wealthy district. It's an issue if it's a poor district. It is truly across the board.
I'll back that up again, because when my son was approaching high school, we traveled to multiple schools to look at it, and we live in Plymouth and eventually decided on the Wayzata School District, even though the Wayzata School District is based on Plymouth. And we initially had some hesitation just because of the size of it, but we have had a remarkably outstanding experience. We have been very, very fortunate. But I know parents of kids who are in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area in the suburbs who aren't as pleased at bigger schools. And I know some parents who have kids in greater Minnesota at smaller schools, and they think it's tremendous. So the continuity that you just talked about isn't always dictated by where in the state or the number of kids who attend that particular school.
It's truly a very fair statement. And it really comes down to the people. You know, if your son has a remarkable case manager, a remarkable special education teacher who really understands how to deliver instruction in the curriculum and has a great support team around them, it doesn't matter if he's going to Wayzata. It doesn't matter if he's in Hibbing or if he's in, you know, Thief River Falls. It is those people. And that's truly one of the issues that sort of is getting forgotten in all of this, and that we are struggling to find the best and the brightest to continue to serve our kids with disabilities and to go into the profession.
Let's talk about that. John Klaber with us, Executive Director, Minnesota Administrators for Special Education. Let's deal with teachers, because we hear about this often in many specific areas of teaching and also overall areas. How do you feel in this area in the state about the number of individuals who are either presently are special education teachers or want to be special education teachers?
We, at one point in time, let's say four or five years ago, if you and I had visited, I would have been discussing this as a problem for outstate Minnesota, for the small communities. It is now a problem across the state. So whether or not you are in Wayzata or you, again, are in a smaller community in outstate Minnesota, you are struggling as an administrator to find special education teachers, find special education specialists to serve your students. And what is sort of contributing, or I shouldn't say sort of, what certainly is contributing is the onus of paperwork that people are being asked to generate.
Yep, right.
Who would have thought that, you know, one of the headlines, you know, in the last few days would have been a bipartisan bill regarding special education paperwork.
Yeah, right.
You know, we live in remarkable times when that sort of thing is going on. But it goes to the challenge that we're facing. Our folks, you know, that we hire and have working for us, they want to be effective. They truly want to be efficient. And they went into the profession to serve kids and not to spend their time generating reams of paperwork. That being said, I want to be respectful of the fact that documentation is important. It's important to families. It provides them some assurances that what the district has promised to deliver to them is being delivered to them. But we need
guarantees, right, John? I mean, because parents can say, hold on a second. We've met one time. We've met 10 times. Here's what you told me. Here's what you assured me. Here's what you guaranteed was going to happen, and it's not happening.
Exactly. And so the extent to which it provides a guarantee is great. The extent to which it gets in the way of a teacher delivering instruction, the extent to which it requires special education directors to think really hard about a teacher in terms of, boy, are they good at due process? Are they keeping up with their paperwork?
Yep.
Or are they brilliant interventionists? You might be flipping a coin. You want the brilliant interventionist, but the person that's not doing the job when it comes to the paperwork is probably going to get you into trouble sooner than the brilliant interventionist.
John, I wish you only the best, and I hope this year with a former teacher and Tim Walz and the idea of working together, I hope this is the year where we see a change. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
John Klaber, Executive Director, Minnesota Administrators for Special Education. It is at 1:49. That is your Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to create a more energy-efficient home with Season Guard windows. How about a chance to win some money right now? National contest, playing it right now. The word is limit, L-I-M-I-T, limit, L-I-M-I-T. Text away, not here, but to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Do it right now.
It's time for overrated, underrated, or properly rated. It's about time this show came up with a new idea. Once again, it's time to play overrated, underrated, or properly rated. Now, here's your overrated host, Chad Hartman.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. Wow. Uncalled for.
Wow.
All right. Cold weather, overrated. All you folks who, you know, in December and early January, she'll have been like, oh, this isn't a real winter. This isn't Minnesota. I want a real winter. Go outside today. Take your shirt off. Run around for a little bit. Tell me about real Minnesota. Overrated when it's below zero wind chill. Give me 20, some flaky white snow, and I'm fine. I don't need below zero. You with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Next one. Pretzels with stuff in it. I like pretzels with stuff in it.
You do?
Oh, yeah, including recently, I just bought pretzels. Peanut butter is going to be part of the overrated, underrated. Two of them here, by the way. Pretzels with peanut butter in it. Oh, just tremendous.
Why don't you just call it something else and make you a sandwich? It's a pretzel. You're just supposed to have the pretzel. That's all it is.
Yeah, because pretzels normally are overrated. Okay, pretzels on their own, overrated.
No way.
But pretzels with like a little cheese in there or pretzels with peanut butter in there, fantastic.
You're doing too much.
Pretzels, too much. Come on.
Too much.
Too much salt. Then you know what they try to do? You buy them and they're giant. Anytime that you buy something and it's overwhelming in its size, you know what they're hiding?
Hmm.
They're hiding their taste because it's not that good.
Oh.
It doesn't taste that good.
Mm.
I'll give you another one right now.
All right, hit me.
Peanut butter granola. Hold on. I'll hit the.
Well, la-dee-da.
I've been buying a little bit of granola lately.
Uh-huh.
Peanut butter granola. Now, you think I'm just defeating the whole point of eating healthy?
Yeah.
If I've got the peanut butter?
You got the peanut butter in there.
Oh, I mean, you don't want plain granola, do you?
I mean, if you're supposed to be eating healthy, peanut butter is not the way to go. So how do you do it? Do you just sprinkle the granola on the peanut butter and then use
the
pretzel to dip it out? What do you do?
See, I went to, hold on, I went to,
well, la-dee-da.
I went to Trader Joe's and they've got the. Yeah, they've got the peanut butter granola. Yeah, I'm not like, you know, taking my whole jar of Skippy.
Yeah, you're not doing it.
Although it's not a bad idea. Take the granola and just dip it in peanut butter. Now, where do you stand on peanut butter?
Oh, no. Mm-mm. Too much. Too much
with the kids?
Too much, yeah. Oh no, it's too much, and it's full of sugar, and it's just
That's why it's good. Seriously, if it doesn't have sugar, most times it's not any good.
You would just sit there and scoop the sugar out of the sugar container and just eat it by the spoonful.
Yeah,
I mean, a little bit of sugar isn't that bad. Like what's your go-to sandwich? Like, if you could have any, are you much of a sandwich person?
Yeah, we do grilled turkey.
Grilled turkey?
Yeah, we're Boar's Head meat folk.
Oh, yeah. Hold on a second. Oh, yeah.
Well, la-dee-da. Yeah.
Boar's Head.
You got to go to Kowalski's for that, yeah, baby. Everybody doesn't sell that.
All I know is a former radio partner of mine wants to know how you're slicing your turkey. Okay, if it's too thick or it's too thin. I mean, are you a thick or a thin?
I'm a thin deli
meat. But it can't be too thin, right?
No, I don't want it shaved. Some people like it shaved. No. It's not even a slice. It's all like little
flaky
pieces.
Yeah, it falls apart.
No. I need at least a slice.
No.
Yeah.
I saw another one I'll give you here.
All right.
Televising darts on TV. Overrated.
Over.
Darts is overrated.
Yeah.
Darts.
And I understand we have some times in the year where there's not too many things we can watch for sports on TV, but... Darts? No.
You know what happens when you're watching darts on TV? You're a lonely person.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with being a lonely person. Well, there is. I don't want you to be lonely.
Right.
Okay? Unless you'd like to be lonely. Some people like that. But if you're watching darts on TV by yourself.
You're alone.
Yeah. I mean, you're alone and maybe.
And maybe there's the room is smoke filled. That's the only thing I can think of.
Are you much of a bar game person, like ping pong or pool or bubble hockey?
No, but I enjoy watching. I'm a cheerleader. Okay. I'm on the sidelines cheering on whoever I came with.
See, to me, ping pong is the greatest game out there.
Really?
Yeah, I love, and it's not table tennis. Don't give me this table tennis nonsense. It's ping pong.
Yeah, ping pong.
It's ping pong. Bubble hockey is also outstanding. A pool, overrated.
Oh, no. See, if I'm going to play something, it's going to be pool.
Overrated.
Billiards. Oh, no.
Overrated.
Oh, man.
Overrated.
I don't know if we're going to make it a whole nother hour.
Societal pressure.
Somebody called a supervisor.
Has caused people to play pool. If the option is ping pong versus pool, true good people line up here and play ping pong. Evil individuals go play billiards. That's how I divide the country right there. Ping pong, good people. Billiards, bad people.
Oh, man.
Let me know through a text, 81807. Matt Burke is going to join us in a matter of moments on the craziest Sunday in championship football. That's coming up in about 10 on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.